I want to pray for, by the grace of God, businesses. I know a lot of you are business owners. You know, I once went to a certain place to go and preach because I did not know the people. I said, yeah, today we are going to pray for people to get work. And the people, they just looked at me funny because they are already business owners. So they were asking themselves, did you not see correctly? Amen? So, at least here I know they are business people. So I want to take your attention to the scripture. I'll explain a little bit. So the city was under siege. We read from verse 13, Ecclesiastes 9:13. I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built huge siege works against it. Now there lived in that city a man poor, but he was wise. The problem there is that the man was poor. It wasn't because he was wise. Somebody will ask, why do you want to pray for businesses? Because the poor wise man saved the city by his wisdom, but nobody remembered the poor man. Even the Bible doesn't tell us his name. So I don't think there's anyone here who is running a business so that they can become poor. So that one day your children or generation can say, you had a great invention or ideas, but now we are poor. Do I have witnesses? No? You are fine? You are okay? You are Elizarek? At least there's a language you understood there. So you see, Aram men, they never get remembered. Second scripture, please. This is what I declare and decree upon your business, that wealth and riches are in your house, and that the righteousness of God endures forever. Not only do you get wealthy or prosperous or rich in your house, but your dealings in business must be to the degree to please God. Righteousness. Ethical. Amen? Another scripture. Thank you. So I confer to you the blessing of the Lord according to Proverbs 10 verse 22 that brings wealth without painful toil. I think that vision says the blessing of the Lord brings wealth and he adds no trouble to it. There is another vision that says he adds no sorrow to your blessing. So you don't get rich by killing someone. That's not a blessing. What the Lord has designed for you will locate you even in business. And then most importantly, as much as you run business, even your employees are your customers. I know you didn't look at it like that. Even your employees are your customers. And you have customers as well. So, I'll quickly speak about Job. He prayed for his friends. He prayed. In this case, we can use customers. And Job was blessed by his friends, by his customers, by his employees. and the Lord restored his fortunes. So you might have lost something in business. A deal might have gone bad. But the Lord says, pray for your customers. Pray for your divine helpers so that they may remember you and may bring business to your door. Amen? And the word also continues to say that God gave him twice as much as he had before. So I declare and I decree upon your business, may the Lord make it to prosper. May the Lord bring wealth. May every client that has never come back to you to come and buy from your store or trade with you, may they remember you and bring much more business, twice as much as they initially wanted to. May the grace of the Lord be upon the walls of your business. May the seed that you bring to the ground, may it germinate to give you multiple and hundredfold harvest. All this to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You know why the wise man was, well, the wise man who was poor was never remembered? Anyone know? Okay, I'll tell you anyway. I can see you want me to tell you. So the wise man was not remembered because his wisdom could not take him out of his poverty. So we can be wise in our eyes. Like the Bible says, there are three levels of wisdom: godly wisdom, earthly wisdom, and human wisdom. That's not my message, but you get the picture. The Bible says there's a manifold wisdom of God. So if we partake in the Lord, we get the wisdom that is spoken about in Proverbs chapter 8. And when we have an earthly or demonic wisdom, it is the one that is from the demonic area. You manipulate people with your wisdom. And the third level of wisdom is, I said demonic, godly, and human. So the human wisdom is the one that tells you 1 + 1 = 2. And it can never change to be 1, 1. Are we learning? Next scripture, please. Thank you. Is there anyone here that is suffering from sleep paralysis? It's a big word. Okay. Paralysis, you are paralyzed. Okay, I know it's something that you need to understand something. Satan has a way of bringing reproach and shame to you. So when the Lord speaks of a word, you are not quick to respond to it because he's making you doubt that if I do stand up and say it's me, people are going to look at me funny or laugh at me. So I'll explain again. Sleep paralysis is when you are sleepy and you feel like there is an oppression on you. You can't move. Anxiety has you. You can feel your heart pounding in your chest. But there is nothing you can do. You can sense the spirit of darkness around your life or in the room. But you are unable to move. Your mouth is locked. Your body is locked. Everything is locked. You don't even remember from the time you were paralyzed until the morning. You only remember the time you were paralyzed. You don't know what happened from there until you woke up in the morning. This spirit is not the same spirit as Acubus or Succubus, which is referred to as spiritual husband or spiritual wife that comes to sleep with you in the night. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you being paralyzed, that even your dreams do not flow through the channel of God. you are either afraid of sleeping or afraid of going to bed. You want to sleep a few hours, or you want to drag yourself into sleep because you cannot sleep a natural sweet sleep that God has commanded us to have. I will ask again. Is there anyone who is experiencing a sleeping paralysis? Come, let's pray for you. I have a lot to cover. You need to understand, I'm not making these things up. I know you are might be not used to how I preach, but I don't make these things up. Amen? The Bible says the word was without power because there was no faith. So if you do not apply faith, the word will become powerless. As powerful as it is, it will look like you are taking the Bible and sleeping on it under your pillow and expecting to know and acknowledge or experience the encounter of God. That's not how it works. Any door that had been opened to allow this demon, by the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit, I command it to come out. Angels of deliverance, for you said, Lord, in the book of Hebrews, are they not ministering angels to those who are in salvation? She has accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior. So today, I claim her by the blood of Jesus. The spirit of paralysis, I bind you in the name of Jesus, by the authority of Jesus Christ. Every place that you have gained access, I seal it by the blood of Jesus. You shall enter no more. I command you to go. Jesus' name. Father, we ask for your protection, even in our sleep. Father, surround us with your angels to keep us safe from all harm. Let your presence be our shield and comfort. We resist and we rebuke any unclean spirit, sleep paralysis, and demonic dreams, and attacks on the people of God's sleep. I close every portal, every dedication of the past that was not dedicated to you with the blood of Jesus. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Everybody who believes says amen. Before I go to my main message, I want to give an example. I was not once under sleep paralysis, but I was once under demonic bondage and oppression. If this night I'm not sleeping with a beautiful woman, and I wake up and I have shame, and I can't tell anyone what happened to me. At first I did not know that was demonic. Because your body and my body will deceive you. That's why the Bible says the flesh is an enemy to the spirit. So the flesh was saying, this feels good. In the dream, even when I was walking towards her, my mind says no. But my flesh was saying, this is good. Go, do it. Remember, a person is in tripartite: body, soul, and spirit. Soul you can replace with mind or emotions. If two of these agree, this one, the third one, will not disagree. If the flesh and the mind or the soul agree on an issue, the spirit has no power. As powerful as it is, as spiritual as you are, once these two take charge, the third one has no power. Even at one point, I could feel on my bed that a snake was dropped on my bed. I don't know whether it was in the spirit or was in the flesh, but I could feel the physicalness of the snake. I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm not saying this to say I was powerful. I needed God's mercy. So when you are in that situation, there's nothing that you can do. And you know what a humanly possible thing a man will do? Especially a man, as in a male, they will want to fight with their fist. Point of warning, you do not touch what is spiritual with your physical. So what did I do? You want to know? I keep the blanket. Imagine if that snake, as I was kicking, I kicked it to my head. Just imagine. But it was the only thing I knew how to do. That's why in the church we need to be equipped with the spiritual warfare weapons. For our weapons are not carnal, but are mighty to the pulling down of satanic strongholds. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It wasn't the only encounter. There were many encounters. At one stage, I think there was a dwarf. I read somewhere there's 7 dwarfs of the demonic. I think there was a dwarf. Because my blankets were being pulled from the end. I couldn't even see who was there pulling them. Some people sense when they are walking by, they see something like a shadow. It's like it's passing through. It's like it's passing through time. That shadow, it looks like it's not supposed to be in this dimension. But you can see it in this dimension. It thought it hid itself in another dimension. I hope I'm not losing you now, because now I'm going into the spirit. I'm elevating into the spirit now. I hope I'm not losing you, because for you to experience, to see something in the spirit while you are a natural being, it means that God has decided to open a portal and show you what is happening around you that you cannot see. So it's either you see it by the Spirit of God and the eye of the Spirit, or you see it by the descending of Spirit. So the descending of spirits opened this eye that now when something passes, you thought you saw someone, but there's no one. But there is someone. But I know you guys are heavily going, tongue-talking, saved, touched by the blood of Jesus. You don't see those things. Amen. Can we have the next scripture? Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited that you are here, and I am here, for the Lord is going to minister to us. Psalm 133, a song of ascents of David. How good and pleasant is it when brothers live together in unity. Why? Because it is like a precious oil pressed on the head of Aaron, running down on the beard and running down on Aaron's beard and down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Next scripture, please. Tell your neighbor, pastor is going to be finished in the next 5 minutes. You don't believe? John 21 verse 15, or from verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, maybe before I read, let me explain. Just keep it there. I'm not going to take long. Let me explain. The book of John was written for 21 chapters. But it was written for initially for 20 chapters. In another lesson, I'll teach what happened there. But the 21st or the 21st chapter, when it opens, it says, and afterwards, Jesus came. You must remember that Jesus came after he was buried, died, and he rose again. Then when he came, he spoke to the disciples, and he gave them instructions, and he told them where to go, what to do, and everything. Every instruction was given at that time. He even showed them that he can go through walls. Even when the doors are locked, he can come in. Jesus can come in. Even when you do something in darkness, he will come in. But because Peter did something that could not be reversed by a human being but needed God to reverse it, the Lord had to come in the 21st chapter. So this is the conversation that God has with Peter. Because Peter now has left the spirit realm and is now in the flesh. He went back to what he knew was working. Then the Lord came, because he knew if he left Peter like that, whatever he has ordained or anointed or chosen and appointed the apostles to do, it will not happen. Because remember, Simon Bar was the one who said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said, upon this what you have said, I shall build my church. And no hell will have access. Take the keys of the kingdom. You must come for my kingdom message. Jesus comes. They have come from the boat, from fishing, and then they are coming. And when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than this, the fish, what you are doing right now? Do you love me more than your relationship? Do you love me more than what you have in your heart? Do you love me more than this? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. That was a command. Do this. 16. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Another command. 17. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I'm going to paraphrase the rest of it. What happens is that before anything else, Jesus never taught his disciples to preach. He taught them humanity and prayer. He said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was not clothed and you gave me clothes. I was dirty and you washed me. So the commands that Jesus gave there, it is as though the Hebrew boys would say, those that know their Lord, they are able to do great and mighty exploits. So it is in the doing that most would want to see what happens. When we come here at church, we don't come here to do gymnastics. We don't come here to do church. We have come here to meet with the Father. We have come to obey what he tells us to do. Feed my sheep. You must remember that the reason why Jesus asked Peter three times was because Jesus said or had said to Peter, you will deny me three times. So that's one thing that I don't think the Lord forgot, because everything worked together for the good. So he came back to correct that which Peter had confessed. Because when he said three times, I do not know that man, there is a third time in that three times that he made a vow. He said, let the blood be on me, because I vow to say I don't know that man. So I want to say to you, there is a correlation between what we see and what we hear. For the Bible has said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing the word of God. Those that wear glasses can attest to this. Do you not find it difficult sometimes when somebody is talking and your glasses are not on you and you can't hear them? You put on the glasses and say, I couldn't hear you. What were you saying? So there is a clear correlation between what you hear and what you see. Monkey see, monkey do. Sometimes all we have or all we want to do when we get to church, because we are struggling with seeing what the Lord is doing, we are unable to hear what He is saying. I'm going to try to break it down in this way. The Bible says, once you have spoken, and twice I have heard you. That's why we have two ears. The Lord speaks once, and we hear Him twice. Our problem is not how to hear Him. Our problem is obedience to what we heard Him say. I was having a session with someone during the weekend. They said to me, your examples are bad. And you don't have a good landing. You just land. I said, that is the prophetic talking. If you want me to rub your wound and nurse you and give you chicken feed, sesame seed, and say, come this way, kippy kippy, wrong address. An old man was asked, what is the secret to life? He said, there is no secret. Obey the Lord. And you shall have fullness of life. Obey. I wish I could stop here. We all need to obey. If you want to see the hand of God upon your life, obey God. When we get to the altar of sacrifice, in the book of Matthew 11, it says, when you are about to pray and to offer to the Lord at the altar, leave your sacrifice if you have something against your brother. Go and reconcile with him and come back and pray, for I will receive your gift. So our problem is that many of us, we put gift before character. Have you not read where the Bible says, you shall know them by their fruits? You obey. God, I obey you. And if you make that prayer in the morning, God, I'm choosing to obey you today, you just welcome many attacks that will come with that prayer. You're going to pass the traffic light being red. That's the first thing you're going to do. By the time it's lunch time, you're already back from hell and running towards heaven. The most dangerous prayer, Lord, I surrender to you. Use me. And He says, empty your account. He said, no, I didn't think we were that quick. Can we just, take it easy one day at a time? Today, let me give 5 rand and then we'll talk about the whole emptying my account. And not only money, but also the account, the investment that you've made in your spirit. There are things, as I said and demonstrated, that we are three. There are things that are in our flesh that causes us not to surrender or empty the account, our account towards God. Recently, I was supposed to borrow a friend money. The friend asked, I agreed without consulting with the Lord. Why? Because I did it before. Why? Because we are business partners. That day, the Holy Spirit did not give me peace. He said, so you want to do what you want to do. Is that your money? That's the day I found out that I don't have anything. Everything that I have belongs to the Lord. Everything that I have is designed to glorify God. Imagine if I was a poor man and I was this wise. Would you remember me? It does not have to make sense. Let me help us. It does not have to make sense. If you heard directly from God, obey. If you secretly hate someone, the Lord will cause you to apologize, either in the absence or in front of that person. And if God wants to take out pride out of your life, He will instruct you to go to that person and apologize. You see, many times Scripture helps us in different ways. Because when you have Scripture, you don't have to be challenged by your emotions. Because your emotions will fight you to do that which God said you must do. Don't care too much that people hate you. God has instructed them, pray for your enemies. So if you want anything, if you want to achieve anything in your life, worth of substance, obey God. Is this message for you? No, it's for us. There have been times that I've disobeyed God and I've paid the price more than anything. This is a personal message to me. He gave me clear instructions. The same way He gives me instructions when I was here, during worship. He gave me an instruction. And I stopped the worship. Not me, but the Holy Spirit. And He said, there's an agency in the Spirit. I need to touch someone. Let me see if you will obey me. I know we know the famous scripture, obedience is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. This is not what I'm talking about. I am talking about challenging you and me to do that which God has told you to do. Right now, you are unable to move to your next elevation. Not because you did something wrong, because you did not want to obey. We are praying for you for the same thing, week in, week out. Let me tell you what obedience does. You will prosper in everything that you want to prosper in. But that one thing that you want, the Lord will not give it to you until you obey. There's a picture where this man is standing like, because I can tell a story, so I'll paint a story. He's standing like a pulpit. He's in heaven. It's a comic. Next to the door, it looks like an exclamation mark. Then this guy who's coming is a question mark. And he says to the guy, if you want to enter here, you're going to have to bend a little, bro. So you're going to have to bend. This misconception of come as you are. It never said go out as you are. You come as you are, and then you bend a little bit to enter heaven. You can be the head of the school governing body, and then you want to come to church and say, but I'm the chairperson of the school. It doesn't work here. This is my Father's house. Everyone here is his Father's house. There is no rank that is more above another rank in my Father's house. We are servants of the Lord. And for you to upgrade to the level where Jesus has said, them that I've given the right to be sons of God, you have to be a son of God, according to Romans 8, where he says that the earth is groaning and in pain, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Meaning there are no sons. That's why God had to come and say, who can I send?
And mind you, when God said that, he was not even talking to human beings. He was talking to the throne room of heaven, in the corridor of eternity. And he stood there and he said, which spirit can I send to the people? But Isaiah was there. I don't know how. But he managed to be in the assembly of where God was speaking. And he said, send me, I shall go. For the Lord has said, I looked upon the circumference of the earth. There was no man worthy for me to send. So when we want to see God's exploits happen in our lives, we have to obey what he tells us to do. The small things that God tells you to do is the things that he's testing you in. Another one, then I'm closing. So it was my first 6 months. I was worshiping with my sister here. We were at the same church. I had to make a decision. I was supposed to move. I felt the Lord said move, but I wasn't matured enough to make that decision on my own. So I asked a matured pastor, can you please pray with me so that I know if this is what the Lord wants? I've seen in our group, where it was shared about dreams. A lot of decisions were made through dreams. So I had a dream, I had a visionary dream, but I wasn't sure because I was young. I prayed with that pastor. He said to me, he asked me a name. Can you give me a name? Any woman name? No, don't give me a wife's name. Give me a name. Hanalee. So, he said to me, who's Hanalee? I said to him, Hanalee is a girlfriend that we could not have a relationship. We were talking and then it ended. And he said, okay. The next question he asked me, he said, are you obedient to the Lord? That was a big question. I've been born again for 6 months. This man is asking me, are you obedient to God? Quickly, I just said, yes. I don't know why. Till this day, I'm kicking myself. I don't know why. I left, I went home. He said, come back after 3 days. I'm going to pray for you and we're going to hear what the Lord is saying, which move you're supposed to make. I went home. He prayed. I didn't pray. Yeah, you're looking at me with a judgment face. Yeah, I didn't pray. I'm just joking. I didn't pray. But as I said and pondered on what he was going to say, what is the Lord going to say? What is he going to require of me to do? What sort of sacrifice do I have to give? And then it came on me. And I don't know if that was the Lord, but there was a voice. And the voice said to me, you didn't tell the whole truth. So I went back. After 3 days, I got there. He has written down what the Lord has told him. This is what you must do. This is. So before he could start, I said, wait. Just wait a moment. I have to say something. He said, okay, what? I said, you remember that lady you asked me about? He said, yes. I said, I didn't tell you the whole truth. I actually slept with her. And he looked at me and said, the Lord has approved you because you were obedient. You did not hide what you thought is going to embarrass you. You did not hide. You became open. Adam, where are you? Who told you you are naked? So, if you and I say we have the Spirit of God in us, and we cannot deny ourselves of the pleasures of the earth, we are lying to God. Just remember, your next level of promotion, or the next level of seeing God's power in your life, is tied wrapped around like a gift that you must just receive in your obedience. I know prayer and fasting. I know sacrifice. I know all these other things that you can do that the Bible is commanding us to do. But obedience is one-on-one. It's just like salvation. God speaks to you about this issue alone. He does not even, sometimes, many times, he does not even reveal it to a prophet to tell you, obey God, because it will be easy for you to do that. Obeying is not easy. Have you seen in your office when you say people must not take stationery home, they take it? They don't obey. You tell them lunch is 1 hour, they come 5 past. What I'm trying to say is that it's in the little. Don't think a huge thing. Unfortunately, it has to do with you and me personally. I will retaliate. I will not give any examples that will satisfy what the Lord has said to you, because even that eye he has not given to me to see. He has not opened the realm of the spirit for me to see, to tell you, you need to obey God when he says this. I nearly lost my life because God told me before I came to this church that your season is over in that church. You need to leave. I stayed 5 months later. I nearly lost my life. I got marked with a machete. You know the machete knife? I got marked with a machete knife. I got hit with a machete knife 4 places on my body. On my head, on my shoulder, on my leg, the front and the back. That day, I literally lost my life. Why? Because I did not obey. I was afraid of who? Man. The day we get free is when we obey God and leave the fear of man. I'm not saying be nasty and start to pretend I was obeying God. He's the one who told me to do this. No. Let me balance this. There won't be error in your obeying. Maybe somebody wants to know, because some stories I just left them half here and there so that you can come and ask me. Because I love telling stories. The man who said to me, God said he's honoring you for your obedience. That's how I became a pastor. When he prayed for me, he said to me, any man that has been called by God, there is a sacrifice that he's supposed to do. And you go throughout the Bible, anyone who has been called by God, moreover, chosen as well, they had to go through some form of sacrifice. There's no manna from heaven. Those people who were receiving manna from heaven, they were receiving it because Moses went through a sacrifice. Yen mini den unshan hestu. The borrowing of the money. This was a big deal. I'm not going to talk figures. The person went and was disappointed that I did not give the money as I had promised. They went to the meeting. They spoke in the meeting. The guy in the meeting recognized the person and said, is not your father so and so? And yes, that's my father. Don't worry. I'll give you this deal with 6 figures for free. You'll pay me when you get paid. You see what happens when you obey God? Right there in that story, I would have been the hero. That John gave me this much money. Ooh, John is by rake. It would not have been to glorify God. But 2 people had to learn 2 different lessons. I had to learn my lesson of sacrifice and obeying God. And in that obeying, God made a plan for my partner, business partner. Peter, after that, after the meeting in the upper room, and then chapter 3 of the book of Acts, he was walking by the gate of beautiful, there was a lame man sitting there. And Peter said to the man, stand up and walk. We remember this is the rendition that Jesus said to the other man, take your mat and walk. Do you know what happened when Peter was there? And he said to that man, get up and walk. That man never walked. He didn't obey. Peter had to go and fetch the man. And only when he pulled him, that man started to walk. You see what obedience does? So you and I today, we're going to ask God for mercy. I'm also going to ask God for mercy. Because there are areas where I have wrestled with God. Not in a good way, but in a bad way. And that He has denied me certain levels of authority in the Spirit. Because I did not obey. Everyone has a gift. When you left heaven, God gave you a gift. So that gift, for it to work, you need to obey. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to not rebel against you, Lord. Your word says in Psalm 119, verse 11, I've hid your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Help us to remember your commandments, Lord. Help us to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. Father, help us to submit and have faith in what you are doing. We want to move quick and fast in the things of God so that your name is glorified. Assist us with your strength to be able to make wise decisions, godly decisions. Thank you that you do not endorse error, but you correct it. Thank you that there will be those that will see wrong things with us and they will correct us, give us a teachable spirit and a fleshy heart. Our promotion is waiting at the confession of our mouth to answer, yes, we obey you, Lord. Remind us of the last commandment. Remind us of the last prophecy that you've given into our lives to give us direction so that we go back to it. Give us remembrance of that word. The word that would catapult us to a level where the world will not recognize us. But they will say, they are with God. Help us not to rebel against you, so that we do not fall into sin. We ask for mercy, Lord, for anything we violated ignorantly or intentionally. Help us to be consistent with the reading of your word and meditation of your commandments. We surrender to you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. We renew our covenant with you, Lord, that from that altar you have found us. Here we are. Holy Spirit, we ask for your fire to light up the prayer altar, to light up that altar that we must continually be on. Thank you for the oil that flows from the head of the Levite Aaron into our bosom. Thank you that we shall do mighty and great exploits. Thank you that what you are going to do as we obey your instructions, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. We do not even know, but we know there is a great reward that you have at the end of the day. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. For you, Lord, are glorious. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.